God is so good. Amen. You know, as we listen to Randy testify and as we listen to the music this morning, I'd like to take just a moment and ask you to just settle in here and ask yourself this question: do I have an ear to hear? You know, Jesus asked that question an awful lot. Whenever he preached, he'd say, to those who have an ear, let them hear. Well, I get to thinking about that from time to time. Most everybody has two ears, and yet we're living in a day and age when very few people hear. And so I think that Jesus was talking about the ear of the heart. And I'd like you to think about that this morning, because we're going to enter in to a new series of messages that they're going to be strong messages. I'm just going to let you know that up front. But I believe that we're very close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you? Yeah, we're living in some things we're going to talk about in here. We'll talk about the age which we're living in. But I want you to ask yourself this question: if Jesus was to come today, would you be ready? I know Ronnie's ready. He's under the blood. What about you? So family and friends, we're going to begin a new series this morning that I have entitled The Marks of a Christian, a True Disciple of Christ. And I want to begin this series by asking you to consider this question: if someone were to accuse you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? Why ask the question? Because we are living in an age where a lot of folks pretend to be something that they are not. And sadly, those things don't just happen outside of the church. They actually can go on inside the church as well. In fact, Jesus, he spoke a parable about this in Matthew. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tare? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." I get to thinking about this, and the first question that came to my mind is, why did Jesus speak this parable? Because the Word of God teaches that one day Jesus Christ is coming again. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that? Now don't just give that quick church answer. It's so easy to do that. I'm asking, do you truly believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? And if you believe it, are you living like it? You see, we don't know the day or the hour when he may come, but we know he is coming, and so am I living like it? Are you living like it? Because the Word of God teaches that one day Christ is coming, and he's going to separate the tares and the wheat, and the tares are the pretenders who do not bear the marks of Christ, but the wheat are those who bear the marks of Christ, a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And so just the very fact that God spoke this parable lets me know and lets you know that there is the potential in every church for both wheat and tares. Else Christ would not have said, a day is coming when he shall separate the wheat and the tares. And the question for us then becomes, how will he know who's the wheat and who's the tares? And of course, Jesus gives the answer. He taught it when he comes to the Christian life. Jesus said, by their fruit ye shall know them. By our fruit we are known. That is, all of us who claim to be saved by the blood of the Lamb and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we ought to have certain fruit, bear certain fruit that is evident in our life. And the fruit of the Spirit is seen in Galatians 5:22 and following. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that's patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk. We like to say we know Christ. Well, friend, are we walking like we know Christ? It's easy to say something. But I will tell you, the longer I live, the more days God gives me, it's harder and harder and harder to walk the walk that God would have you walk, especially in this age in which we're living today. Be finding in your Bibles the book of 1 John in the first chapter. And while you're turning there, allow me to ask you again. If someone were to accuse you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? If you're able, please rise as we honor the Lord this morning with the reading of His Word here in 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read down through verse 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we are so thankful to be in the house of the Lord. To be standing here this morning before a holy God, a righteous God, a God who is full of mercy, a God who is full of grace, a God who is full of joy and peace, a God who loves us unconditionally. And oh Lord, we pray not only for those who are gathered here this morning, but those who are watching on the live stream. Lord, may You touch our hearts with the cloven fire of Thy Holy Spirit. May You show us who we are. And, oh Lord, when we're done, may we be bearing the marks of Christ. And when we leave this place, as Charlotte said in the children's story, that our faces would shine and this world might know that we have been with Jesus. Because by Thy Spirit Thou hast changed us. And by Thy Spirit Thou hast drawn us ever nearer to the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we pray for those souls today who cannot say what our brother Ronnie can say, that my sins are under the blood. And oh Lord, how we need to have the precious blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us, to heal us, to set our hearts ablaze in a fire for You. Oh Lord, I pray this morning for all who are listening. that, Lord, that this message would not be a sermon unto us, but it would be our very lifeblood, that we would examine our hearts, and, oh, Lord, that our hearts would get right with you today. Lord, there's no greater joy than to know that one's heart is right with Jesus. Make our hearts right. Help us to be submissive. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. In this passage before us, we find the first mark of a Christian, a genuine convert, a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. Have you ever given thought to what a Christian is? Simply put, it is to be a Christ one. And if you are a Christ one, John tells us here that you will walk in the light. Now you know as well as I do, there are a lot of folk going around the world today who claim to be this or that, who pretend to be something that they are not. And it doesn't happen only outside of the church. It happens inside the church as well. Even in the church we find people who say, yeah, I'm born again, I'm walking in the light. But the very actions of their lives, the very way they live their life, their continual practice of life, proves that they are walking in darkness. Because listen, the Bible teaches James 4:4, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So let's ask, how can anyone claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ if their continual practice, the continual walk of their daily lives, proves they're still walking in the darkness? If Christ were to come for you today, would he find you walking in the light? By the way we walk, by the way we talk, by the way we think, all of these things give evidence of whether or not we are truly walking in the light, whether we're thinking with the mind of Christ, whether we're speaking the things of Christ, whether our lives give a testimony that we belong to Jesus. The Bible teaches in several places that those who claim to be Christ are to be examining themselves. For example, King David, he prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Can I ask you a question? I'm going to ask it anyway. When is the last time you have prayed that way? So many of us just go through life just willy-nilly, never really considering our walk before God, never really considering, am I really reflecting the glory and grace of Almighty God in my life? We just take it for granted. When is the last time you got on your knees before a holy God and cried out, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lest you think that's just an Old Testament thing, Paul picked up on this and he wrote to the Corinthians and us today. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be a reprobate? Isn't it interesting? We live in a world today where we judge everybody else, but we very rarely look at ourselves. because we compare ourselves to everybody else, and we'll say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I don't do what they do, so I must be all right. Friend, you're not all right if you haven't asked Jesus to look into your heart. One day you're going to stand before Jesus. How many of you believe that? Now think about it. Don't give a quick church answer. The Bible says one day, coming very soon, you and you alone are going to stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and He's going to say unto you, what did you do with the life I gave you? As we think about these things, you might be wondering what a reprobate is. It means to be a wrongdoer, a good for nothing. And it is the very reason Jesus spoke the parable of the wheat and the tares. Both reside and can reside in the church. And the day is soon coming when the Lord God of heaven is going to judge the hearts of men. Remember what the Apostle Peter wrote. And this is where I believe we are today in the church. It should not surprise us where we are today in the church when we look around. And we see attendance at church and the willy-nilly attitude, the take-it-or-leave-it attitude that people have toward the church. Because God wrote, hey, had Peter record it, for the time is come when judgment must begin at the house of God. So again, I'll ask, if someone were to accuse you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? Furthermore, what is the light that we are to be walking in? And the light is God. John writes here in our text that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. What is light? Is it energy or is it matter? When you turn on the light in your home, the darkness lurking in the corner becomes light. What was it that went into the corner and drove out the darkness? Light that had as its source electricity. But what happens in that dark corner when you turn the light off? What is light? John wrote in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Light. You're here this morning. You're listening on a live stream because God gave you the very breath of life. He brought you out of darkness. You were once just formless, but God formed you. He created you. He molded you, and He breathed into you the breath of life. He gave you a spark. Dear friend, one of the attributes about God is that He is light, and it says a great deal about Him because it speaks of His glory, and it speaks of His radiance, and it speaks of His beauty, and it speaks of His wonder. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to go be on vacation every now and again and sit on a beach and be there just before the morning sun comes up over that eastern horizon. And here it comes in a blaze of glory. And oh, it is so beautiful. Just imagine how much greater is the glory, the beauty, and the radiance of Almighty God. God is light. Another characteristic about light is that light is self-revealing. Light can be seen, but it diffuses itself. It illuminates the darkness. It is revealing. Light allows us to see our hands and our feet and our face in the mirror. Light reveals us to ourselves. Light allows us to see when we're dirty and in need of a shower. Light allows us to see the imperfections of our flesh. Light allows us to see ourselves for what we really are. And when we look into the Word of God, we really know who we are, if we will but look. If we will allow God's light to shine within us, light reveals everything about us. Do you realize that as we're sitting here worshiping this morning, God is moving amongst us today without casting a shadow, because He is light and He is pure. And what is God looking at? He's looking at our hearts this morning. Light speaks of the purity of God. Another characteristic of light is that it guides men. It points out the path that you and I are to take. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And each of us has a choice. We can choose the path of right according to God's word, or friend, we're going to wander off without God's light. Light on the horizon will lead men to take courage. It is light that gives the true child of God the courage to keep pressing on in this sin-filled world in which we're living today. God is light. But what about the other extreme? Darkness. Darkness is actually more than just a negation of light. It's not just the opposite of light. Do you realize that darkness is actually hostile to light? The light and the holiness of God are in direct conflict with the evil darkness and chaos of our present world. Thus, family and friends, mankind is presented with a great dilemma. Man is but a little creature down here on earth, and we're filled with sin, and yet isn't it interesting that sometimes man thinks he's such a big thing here on this earth? We're but a little creature here upon this earth, and we're filled with sin. And God has made it clear that He finds no good in man. The Bible states in language so plain, so simple, that a child can understand, there is none righteous, no, not one. You see, in my heart, in your heart, let's face it, there can be some rebellion sometime, can't there? There's some times when we just don't want to do what is right. Now, did I say that right? Oh, you can do better than that. I know nobody likes to admit negativity. There's times when we're hostile to God. You know that sin is not only doing the things we know we should not do, but sin is also not doing the things that we know we should do. How many of us are guilty? You might say, well, I'm not guilty of doing the things I know I shouldn't do. I don't do them. But what about the things that you should do? Do you do everything that you should do? There is none righteous. No, not one. There is rebellion in the human heart. Many a man and a woman, unfortunately, has given themselves over today to a worldly, secular, carnal mindset. And do you know what God has to say about that? This is what God says in Romans 8 and 7. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. We are living in a world today that is in rebellion against God. So it should not surprise us at what we see taking place on the streets of America and around the world today. But before we look at the world around us, before we begin to cast dispersions, before we begin to form an opinion, before we begin to speak out, we've got to look at ourselves. Are you in rebellion against God? Do you walk around with a carnal mindset, finding more pleasure in the things of the world than obeying the will of God? How important is obedience to God to you today? Let's examine that. What are you watching on television? Because it's at home, that's who you really are. It's easy to put on airs and come to church, look good, smell good, say all the right things. But it's at home. That's who we really are. What are you watching on that old television? Would God be pleased with what you view? What are you looking at? Because what we see feeds our minds. What are you reading? I find it interesting today that we are living in a day and an age when more people will read and believe Facebook than they will God's book. What are you listening to? Let's face it. Let's ask this question. Most of what we see and hear today, what is it produced to feed? A carnal mind or a spiritual mind? Is what we see from the world and hear from the world geared toward helping us walk in the light? Family and friends, we need to understand something. God says the carnal mind is enmity against Him. The carnal mind proclaims to know God. In fact, most folks who claim to have a relationship with Christ and yet have never left the darkness, do you realize they'll boast of their knowledge of God and of God's Word and yet continue to break His commandments? And Jesus said of folks like these, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrite, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And Paul warned Titus. He said, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." In other words, their claim of faith is false. They are yet dead in their trespasses and sin because they refuse to come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Jesus said, and this is the condemnation that has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And God is simply sharing with us this morning how He knows who is a true and genuine Christian and how He knows who is not. And God wants us to know that His child will bear the mark of walking in the light. Are you walking in the light this morning? Are you praying as King David did? "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Are you allowing to choose the Word of God to remove from you every spot, every wrinkle, every defect? So that you as His child are being made more and more over to the image of Christ? And wasn't that the point of the children's story this morning? That you and I ought to be bearing the image of Jesus Christ. You know, a true convert does that. Someone who takes their faith seriously. Someone who's more concerned about what God would think. Someone who will examine themselves. Someone who will look at and gauge the motives of their heart, lest any deceit or evil would creep in unawares and make their testimony of the grace of God at work in their lives of no effect. Some folks will do that. They're serious about their walk with God. They live to please God. Their life reflects the glory of God. Every decision, every action is put through the filter of what does God's Word say. This is the person we're talking about who trusts in the Lord with all their heart, does not lean upon their own understanding. In all their ways, they acknowledge Him because they want Him to be directing their path. Do you want to know the number one reason people will read Facebook and not God's book? I'll tell you why. Because God says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit into the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. When any person prefers to relish in their secret sin whatever it might be, to the point of justifying them, you will not find them reading the Word of God, lest their deeds should be reproved. You see, very simply, a heart that is set on self and self alone will not come to the light. They will not walk in the light. They will not look into God's Word because they know deep down what God will say about it. And here's what too many men and women seek to do today. They're seeking to bring God down to their level simply because they have made a decision in their heart that they will not walk in the light. But note what John wrote, verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Are you walking in the light of God's Word? Is your life a reflection of God's light? If someone were to accuse you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? Are you a doer of the Word or a hearer only? James wrote, James 1, 23 and 24, for if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Can I ask you this morning, how many of you looked in the bathroom mirror before you left home? Just raise your hand if you did that. Can I ask you, how many of you went back for a second look? Why'd you go back for a second look? Because you forgot what manner of man you were. You wanted to double check, make sure it was you. The Apostle John concurs because he says, if we don't do what God says, we're a liar. Now, here's what I know. It's not polite to walk up to anybody and call you a liar. So I think we can agree that God is being very blunt here. God is trying a shock value, if you will. Maybe a sledgehammer. Boom. Get it. And yet God says, you say you have fellowship with me and you walk in darkness. You live continually day after day after day practicing those things that you know I stand against, that are contrary to the light. You're doing the things that gives no testimony, no proof whatsoever that you are a child of mine, and yet you say you know me. You're a liar. And the truth is not in you. Now we need to understand something about John. John wrote that, and God directed him to write that. Jesus called his disciple John a son of thunder. And I think anybody who's got the nickname son of thunder is just going to lay it out there. He ain't going to be sweet about it. He's just going to put it out. John was a great, big, two-fisted fisherman. He was a man's man, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, I don't know about you, but if a great, big, two-fisted fisherman, a man's man's going to come up and lay it on me like that, I'll tell you what, I'm going to believe him. But more importantly, I'm going to believe it because it is John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking the Word of God unto our hearts. John says, God is light and God is holy. And if we're going to walk with God, we are going to have to walk in the light. Understand this, we cannot bring God down to our level, but hallelujah, thank God, we can allow God to bring us up to His level. How do we do it? By letting the light of His Word shine in our hearts to rid us of every bit of darkness. We do it by repenting of that which we have done wrong according to God's Word. We do it by examining ourselves in the light of God's Word to be certain that we are bearing the mark of a Christian and a true disciple of Christ. And if you'll make the choice to do what God says, this is God's promise of assurance unto us. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know how I know my brother Ronnie saved? Let me tell you how I know. Because Ronnie's confessed his sin. He ain't banking it upon some prayer he prayed a long time ago. See, when Ronnie messes up, Ronnie just asks God to forgive him. Ronnie's a living proof of the verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know one day when Ronnie stands before Christ, and God asks him the question, why should I let you into my heaven? Well, we've already heard his testimony here before men. When the pressures of life came upon Ronnie, and he had a blood clot in his brain, and he wasn't in his right mind thinking clearly, what came out of Ronnie? I'm under the blood. What a powerful testimony. Man, some people in their right mind can't spout anything good, can they? But someone who was under affliction, when the pressure of life came out, he like a sponge, when he was filled, when he was filled and the pressures of life squeezed him, Christ came out. When the pressures of life squeeze you, what's going to come out? Is it going to be Jesus? When it comes time for you to stand before God and give an account of your life and its deeds, will there be enough proof to prove that you are a faithful child of the living God? If you were to be accused of being a Christian and the case went before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as one day it will, dear friend, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you of being his? Do you bear the mark of a Christian, a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Father, we thank you for your word to us today. Oh Lord, the preciousness of it. Lord, times are serious. And we need to be serious about our walk with God. Each one of us one day is going to stand before you. One day each one of us is going to make a claim before you. And Lord, you know our heart. The light of Christ in the presence of his Holy Spirit has moved amongst this congregation here this morning. And Lord, your light has revealed unto every one of us just what we are, who we are, and where we are at this moment in our walk with you. No, Lord, we need to get serious about that. Lord, without a doubt this morning, because your word never goes out void, you've exposed some of us. You've exposed some issues in our lives that we need to get straight. Some of us need to be a better husband, some a better wife, some a better child. All of us need to be better Christians. You know, Lord, we don't know how long it's going to be before you come, but this one thing we do know, you are coming. Hallelujah, you are coming. And Father, when you come, may the heart of each and every one of us want to bear the mark of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. May we leave no doubt that we are one of yours. May there be no doubt in this church. May there be no doubt in our family. May there be no doubt in our workplace. May there be no doubt wherever our feet should go that when people see us, that they would say, that one is one of God's. Oh Lord, when we leave here today, may our face shine because we have been with Jesus. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Our hymn of invitation is, Let Jesus Come Into Your Heart. And you may be lost here this morning, and you've never allowed Jesus to come into your heart. But then again, you may be a Christian this morning. And let's face it, friends, it's tough in this world to be a child of God. And sometimes we move in the wrong direction. Sometimes we do some things we ought not to have done, and then we just figure, well, God will forgive us, but I really don't need to get serious about it before God. But I'm going to tell you, you do need to be serious about it before God. We need to ask God to cleanse us. There's such a thing called confession. Why do we have a public altar call? I'll tell you why, because every person that Jesus called, he called public. When you stand up and you take that first step, it says to Jesus that you want to be serious about your relationship with Him. But it's also, in God's grace, a testimony to others that you're serious about your walk with Christ. You then become an encouragement to others. You may be here this morning. You've not yet joined this church, but God is calling you to become a member of this church. You've been coming here for a long time, but you've never made any decision about it. You're not yet a part of the family of God. That's a very important thing, to be a part of a family. Boy, there's nothing greater than family. And I know in this world today, some families, you say, well, it's not so great in my family. But in God's family, everybody's accepted. In God's family, there's love. In God's family, there's unconditional grace. And it's my bold determination that as long as I live, I'm going to work to get people to understand this, that in this family, there's going to be unconditional grace and love one for another. It's time for us to get serious with Jesus this morning. Let's stand and let's sing. If God has spoken to your heart, you come.
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject Him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. If it's for purity now that you sigh, let Jesus come into your heart. Fountains for cleansing are flowing nearby. Let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject Him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. If there's a tempest your voice cannot still, let Jesus come into your heart. If there's a void this world never can fill, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject Him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart.
Brother Philip, if you'll come and close our service in a word of prayer.